continuing, praise God, looking at our greatest need, and we're rooted and grounded in love.
Yes.
Wonderful Saviour. What a mighty deliverer. We're taking this from chapter 3 of Ephesians with verse 17. We're looking at a couple of weeks now at what it is to be rooted and grounded in love. And I want to take up from where some of the things we spoke last time and build on that and get into what sort of thing we introduced about bearing fruit. We're looking at the example of a tree, aren't we? Bearing fruit because of what it's rooted and grounded in. And if you remember, we looked how the Lord said to the apostles, and he says to us, that henceforth I call you not servants, I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But I'm calling you friends because what I have heard from the Father, I'm revealing to you. And there's a character that exactly the same thing happened in the Old Testament, Abraham. God called Abraham my friend, Isaiah, if you want to believe, that's what he said, if you want to check it out, Isaiah 41 and verse 8, Abraham my friend.
Yes.
And in Genesis 18, he told him what he was going to do. He revealed that he's about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did that for a reason. He enabled Abraham to intercede for Lot. Abraham stood before him, and the whole scenario there, the whole scene opening up there was, can I withhold anything from Abraham, because I know him, that he will order his house correctly. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He knows us. He's working with us that we will order our lives, order our house correctly. He's restoring divine order. And he's enabling us, giving us that divine authority through what he's revealing in the end times. He has shown us the judgment that's coming on planet Earth. The universal Sodom and Gomorrah. He's revealing what he's about to do. Dear friends. Entrusting us, enabling us to intercede for our loved ones, to intercede for whatever it is that God is putting on our hearts, giving us that authority, that relationship, that standing. Now there's a difficulty. We heard in prophecy, didn't we, about not getting our minds, not trying to work out what God is doing, how he's doing it, looking inward, or trying to work out with these intellects what God just wants us to trust. Whatever he wants us to know, he will reveal. We only know what the Spirit shows us, and we trust each day. If he showed us everything, if he explained everything, if he gave us all the reasons for our trials, the delays, gave us all the reasons for that, it would take away faith. We trust him because we don't know. We can't work it out in our own strength, our own intelligence, our own willpower. Friends, God, I suppose this is nothing new to most of us, but there may be some who need to be encouraged again with this. This is not religion. It's not a thing of willpower. Faith ushers us into the spiritual, into the heavenly realm, into the realm of the Spirit. It's supernatural. These things must be revealed by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We take it for granted that we can confess Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and yet we're told in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, that we can't say that savingly, we can't say it righteously, except by the Holy Spirit. From beginning to end, from faith to faith, from the justifying faith to sacrificing faith. Old Abraham used that as an example. He delayed, didn't he? Prevaricated. When the Lord told him to leave his father's house, what did he do? He stayed until his dad died. Then he moved out. Because if you look in Genesis 12, it says, for the Lord had said to Abraham, move out, leave your father's house, leave this country. But we read, it wasn't until Terah died that they moved. So, you know, we often skip over that bit. So Abraham was in a learning process. And, yeah, praise God, he moved. He began to take his step of faith. And then he was given this wonderful promise. And we're told he believed God. And it was accounted to him. It was imputed. It was reckoned, accounted to him for righteousness. And what did he do with that promise? There he was, declared righteous. What a mess he made of it. Does that sound familiar? And yet, we have a few steps, if you like, later on. There he is, offering Isaac. From faith to faith. God knows our journey. He knows the journey we're on. He knows the faith walk, doesn't he? From those stumbling, stuttering beginnings to that glorious fulfillment. Now, God is working with us to fulfill this wonderful redemptive purpose that he has in our life.
Amen.
And it's faith. It's trusting. It's looking to him. Anything that God requires in terms of understanding, wisdom and discernment, he will provide by the Spirit. All we give him each day is faith today by God's grace. Faith today. And that, not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. It's a work of grace. Not of works. And yet faith will work, but it's faith that works. It's not our trying to earn our salvation, trying to deserve the anointing, trying to deserve God's favour, God's grace. The only way you and I can please God is by faith. Why? Because God cannot arbitrarily justify a sinner. It's always going to be the faith of Christ, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. And from that righteousness, from Christ's righteousness imputed to us, as we grow in faith, as that faith is strengthened, we're going to, like Abraham, be blessed with faithful Abraham, but we're going to make those offerings too. We're going to go from those faltering, is it, isn't it, steps, those beginning steps, to those glorious offerings that are going to, you know, that are going to reflect the redemption, that wonderful redemption that God has provided in Christ. Friends, you know, the Lord's teaching me this because I'm beginning to realise, hang on a minute, all this responsibility and the things that God does with us, relationship, just that simple, let's relax, let's enjoy this relationship, let's enjoy it, shall we, let's relax and see how God is going to get me through this day. Is it impossible? Don't we sing that chorus, God will make a way, when there seems to be no way? He works in ways we cannot see. But we want to see, don't we? We want to look in that into that ark.
Yeah.
A man tried it, didn't he, once? He looked into the ark, and what did God do?
That's right, we tried.
I understand your curiosity. If I were you, I'd want to look in too. What did he do? He smote him. Cost him his life. Oh, friends, let's just let God be God.
Yeah.
You know, we're those clay vessels, aren't we? We're those vessels on that potter's wheel, as we heard. Let him, sovereign God, let him work what he wants to work.
Yeah.
We'll soon see it. We'll see it soon enough. Up in glory, we'll begin to understand. Praise God. We'll see the result. We'll see the fruit in our lives. Let's just relax. Let him do it. Let go. Praise God. Praise God. Because he has provided.
Yeah.
He has provided.
Amen.
And let him work it.
Yes.
Praise God. It's trusting him each day, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, that's a great deliverance. That is a wonderful deliverance. Where we can just let go.
Yeah.
And let God do that work that he's said he'll do. And that brings us, praise God, because he is working that intimate relationship. We are his servants, praise God we are. But it's more, he's now promoting, if you like, as it were, he's saying now, okay, I'm going to start treating you as friends, as sons. You'll continue to serve me, continue to worship. You'll always be the redeemed, and I'm the redeemer, but I'm now... It's that relationship. You're now drawing aside from the world. You've been separated from sin, separated from your past, from the world, separated unto me, and now you're going to come closer. Just draw aside from your activity. Draw aside from your busyness. Come into my presence. Dwell, stay there, like the Apostle John. Just dwell. Get close enough so that you can start hearing what I want to say to you. I'm going to start revealing some things to you. But it requires a consecration. It requires that you turn your back on the frenzied, fearful, religious activity of the world, and you take that time and you're still in my presence. And God's working that. God is working that. He's drawing us into his presence where we will abide. Where we will abide in the Holy of Holies. We don't have to look into it, like that unfortunate person did, out of curiosity, or whatever his motive was. We're being presented with it. The Spirit is working that with us. He now dwells within, and he's bringing us into God's presence. And we're just being, praise God. The logical thing then is the rapture, isn't it? So we've been spiritually, morally, ethically separated unto him. We're no longer part of the world. He's done the hard part by forgiving the sin, hasn't he? He's now placed us in Christ. So wouldn't the easiest thing in the world for him to be just now consummate that by physically delivering us, physically separating us? That's all it is to be caught away. He's done the hard part through the forgiveness of sin, separating us unto him.
Hallelujah.
Now there are some signs in our lives, praise God. This is where we now, if you remember, we introduced 2 Peter, this fruitfulness. Because we're rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in God's love. Now we're going through trials. We're believing for some things. We're expecting some things. Some people have spoken over our lives, or we've believed, we've claimed, asked, prayed about, appropriated some promises, and we're waiting for some manifestations. Desperate people in desperate times. So let's see what God is saying. How should it be with us? So we'll start 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given to us all things, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, or to his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A wonderful, glorious, redemptive purpose that God is working out in our lives.
Yes.
Now, he's given us all we need to know as to how he does it.
Yeah.
But the actual details, the actual, if you like, technical details of how he works that out in our lives is none of our business.
No.
It's what God is doing. You know, the little kid who wants to help Dad in the yard, in the garden, and really in the father's heart is saying, get out of my way. Just get out of my way, let me do it. But we let him help, don't we, to encourage the little fella to enjoy working with his dad.
Yeah.
But really, what the father is saying, and Praise God. He is saying this now. Get out of the way. Let me do it. Get out of my way. Let me do it. Trust me. Do you not think, do you not believe that I know what I'm doing? Now, our problem is that it's taking a while. Our problem is that it often involves pain. It involves change. It involves a deep inward work by the Holy Spirit. It often goes, usually, goes contrary to what we think it ought to be, to our intellect, to our logic. If God loves me, Father, I know you love me, but why this pain? Why am I going through this? Why are you allowing this in my life? Well, the Father loves Jesus supremely, and look what he allowed him to go through to save you and I. You see, if we doubt the Father's love, let's take a moment, let's relax, let's take a moment and look at the cross. If we doubt his love, look at the cross. Jesus died in our place. That's God's revelation of his hatred of sin and his love for you and I. Jesus went to the cross because of his love for the Father, as well as us. But it's the Father's love there. If you doubt his power, maybe you can, maybe you subconsciously do it at all. You would never say that God can't do it, but, you know, if the things we say sometimes reveal that we are doubting his power. But if you doubt his power, take a moment and consider, yes, creation, all of creation, that he spoke it into being, but more, that empty tomb. The power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within you and I.
Amen.
His love, his power, that love, that power dwells within you and I. And is available, all his omnipotence, all his omnipresence, his omniscience, all that, those things that we learned in theology, is now available personally, can be appropriated on your behalf by an act of faith, by turning to him in a time of need. All the grace you and I will ever need, God has made available. And that is how the fruit is born, because the producer of that fruit dwells within. And it's simply turning to him, yielding to him in a time of trial. We have a choice. Do we justify ourselves, or do we allow the Lord to take over? And at that point, when we make that choice, we turn to him for the grace. The Holy Spirit bears that fruit in our life, produces that fruit, we bear it as those branches. But he has made that available by a simple act of faith. We're going to trust him this day. And these things come to perfection each day, each relationship, each opportunity, to show brotherly love, to show that love, that kindness, an act of kindness. It's a choice we make, but it's simply the choice we make. The power comes from God, as we yield over to him. These things are available to the extent that we press through, yes, and believe for them, but they're available as we yield, as we trust God, as we believe, because we cannot base, we cannot evaluate our relationship to God on how we feel. It's got nothing to do with feelings. People think love, oh yeah, must be a really strong feeling, strong emotion. May be involved in a humanistic sense, but love is about loving the unlovable. It involves the cross. It's God's love. It's a choice we make. I'm just going to die. I'm not going to justify myself. I'm going to let that person ride roughshod over me. Because they're not doing it to me, they're doing it to Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. They think they do because they're so clever. But Lord, they don't. Have mercy. You see, that's love at work. Got nothing to do with how we feel. Might be the opposite of how we feel. But praise God, let God be God. Let him work that in us and through us.
Amen.
So, here we have, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. So it's His righteousness. We've obtained it not by our own efforts, not by our own works, but by His righteousness. So basing that, we can then say, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's through knowing Him. That's not just theological knowledge, that's a good place to start, because that's truth, it's His word. But that personal knowledge, that relationship, that experience with Him, that encounter with Christ. So many of our brothers and sisters, when you tell them about or talk to them about salvation, what it is to be saved, think in terms of going to church, reading their Bibles, praying. Salvation, saving faith, salvation is an encounter with a living Christ. It's a life-changing, personal encounter. Your life changes. A good description I've heard is when you go to work and you're late. I don't know if I'll get the words exactly right, but I trust that by God's grace I'll be able to make the point. You go to work late and the boss says, why are you late? And it's like, the expression there is, well, you know, because you're all smartly dressed and your tie's right and everything is looking like it should be. You're a few minutes late and you say, I've been hit by a freight train. And that's the reason I'm late. But everything about you is exactly the same. Dear friends, if you'd been hit by a freight train, you wouldn't be 5 minutes late, would you? Your tie wouldn't be in place. You're
6 foot.
You'd be a mess. Why it's called a train wreck. You've been hit by a freight train. Right? Your life changes, doesn't it? So, salvation, friends, okay?
Hallelujah.
You know? You know something has happened to you.
Yes.
And it's made a difference.
Yes.
Okay, that's what salvation is. That is the effect. Now, not everybody has the same amazing experience. Not talking about that. Not talking we all have to have Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. But the change. I'm talking about the changed life. The effect. You know you have met with the Lord Jesus Christ and your life has changed and will continue to change on through eternity. Because God has taken over. You've met with the risen Christ and He is now Lord of your life and your Saviour. And this is what's happening now. As His divine power. It's His power. God's power. That which created the heavens and the earth. That which raised Christ from the dead has given to us, He's given to you and me, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life, to eternal life, to living a fruitful life, to being godly. He's given it to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
He dwells within us. And He's providing every moment. Every moment of every day, in every situation, all those things that pertain to life and godliness. Not death, not religion, not striving legalistically to try and perfect ourselves. We know what we are, but God knows what we are even more than we do. You don't have to tell Him. You don't have to convince Him. You don't have to explain it to Him, Lord. You may have made a mistake. Do you really know what you've taken on here? Do you actually know what you've done by saving me? The Lord knew, didn't He? Lord knows. Oh, praise God. You wouldn't actually say that to Him because that would be a bit insulting, wouldn't it? But and yet we do. Because we try to help Him.
Yes.
We try to help Him out.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Praise God. No, that's the whole point. Grace is for those who least deserve it. He's taken us on. Now let Him save. He's revealed himself as Lord and Saviour. Let him be Lord and Saviour.
Amen.
Let him save. Let him redeem.
Yeah.
We want, you know, we do need healing. We need such and such. We need deliverance. We need this. We need that. God knows.
Yeah.
And at the right time, we will find him to be that ever capable and compassionate healer, deliverer, provider. He works in seasons. He works in his way. Let him work that work of redemption, and we will find those manifestations. We will experience it. Praise God. How? By faith. By believing. Trusting. God cannot make a mistake. We are not his mistake. Just because we make mistakes, we're not his mistake, because he can't make a mistake. He knew what he was taking on when he saved us. He loved us eternally. He has loved us eternally in Christ, and there came a time when that was wrought in our life. Praise God, and it's still being wrought in our lives. If we will just get out of his way and let him do it. And all he wants of us is faith. Praise God.
Amen.
Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, called us to his glory and virtue. He has called us. We couldn't get saved unless he called us.
Yeah.
We chose to believe. We believed, we chose to believe, but that's his grace.
Yes.
He didn't choose us because we believe. We believe because he chose us. Wonderful Saviour. Wonderful Sovereign God. And here we have verse 4. By which are the glory and the virtue, by his calling, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Yes.
Every single one of God's promises is a revelation of the redemptive purpose that he wants to fulfill in your life.
Amen.
Every single promise is a wonderful revelation of the glorious redemptive purpose he wants to fulfill in your life. It's not there just for the fun of it. It's there for a redemptive purpose. To be in God's perfect will is to appropriate those glorious promises. They have conditions. And as we appropriate those promises, we begin to learn the most important lessons of our Christian life. Let's look at that. Hebrews. Oh, praise God. Glory to the living God. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Have you prayed a prayer, dear friends? Have you been ministered to and it still hasn't happened? Are you waiting on a manifestation? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, or King James, great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It doesn't get more profound or more important than that, friends. Because in this end time, the one thing our faith has got to do is endure. Has to endure to the end. No matter what the devil throws at it, we must endure. And there's no other way than to endure on a promise, waiting on God, looking each day to his faithfulness. That will work endurance, if we're praising him. If we're still looking at the symptoms and not the promises, if we're still wondering why, then it's not working endurance in us. And we need to be honest about our faith. Just come clean before God. Lord, there's fear, there's unbelief, there's doubt, I'm struggling. Use what faith you have to call upon God for a great and mightier delivering touch. The faith that we have been given is so that is to reach him, to get a touch from him. If you look at the Gospels, their faith was to touch Jesus and to get a touch from him. Their faith was not to do their own creating. That will come later. That's the gift of faith. That's the ministry gift of faith in operation that God is training sons for. But at this present time, through the trial we're going through our present situation, the faith is to touch Jesus and for him to touch us. The gift later on, that instant sonship faith, where we speak a word, it comes to pass. Don't let's run before we can walk. That's always given for a purpose. But until the gift is operating, that fruit of faith grows through the trial, it grows through endurance, and it builds our relationship to him. Because, dear friends, we cannot look in two places at the same time. We can't look to our symptoms and our circumstances and to the promises. This is why God disciplines us the way he does, so that we look in one direction at a time. We look to him, we look to his promises. Praise God. Now just consider God's love. We said that earlier, his power. Whatever we're going through, God is allowing it for a reason. Is what we're going through beyond his power? Is what we're going through beyond his love? Obviously not. So where's the hindrance? Where's the barrier? What's stopping God? Nothing's stopping God, but there is something he's saying, isn't there? It's the sin, the unbelief, the hardness of heart, the fear. He is delivering. He's heard our cry, he's heard our prayer, and he's answered it.
Yes.
You have received. Now the work begins, that exposure, that deliverance, the unbelief, the self-will, the sin, the pride, the things that he's exposing. Because faith will endure the trial. Faith has received it. We might not be able to endure, we might not have received it, in the sense of our logic, our intellect. But if we could just get still, quiet enough, when we feel that pressure, when we feel we're overwhelmed by what we're going through, that's the time to get quiet, to get still, to ask God for a fresh revelation of his love, his grace, his mercy, his power. Because I cannot do it in my own strength. I have nothing left in me now. Nothing left in me. Praise God, and aren't we all still learning that one?
Yeah.
Praise God. Do not cast away your confidence. Even if you decide, through all that you're going through, you're waiting on God, you've done all this, even when we're looking at the promises, don't look at them as ink on page, but understand that they've been sealed by the blood of Jesus. They are a revelation of what God wants to do, how he wants to fulfil his redemptive purpose in your life. And they have been sealed, they have been purchased for you. You don't have to buy them. They've been purchased for you by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
That's what the promises are about. And if, even after all of that, you decide, well, I just haven't got the faith for it. Do you know God is merciful? He's gracious. He's not going to condemn if you're honest. If you come clean before him and say, in spite of all of that, you know, by going to man for help, I know I'm going against all that, but Lord, I will be in faith. By the time you have finished with me, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to believe you. What we've got here is fear, it's unbelief, it's pride. I can't wait on you, not because the trial is too great, but because my unbelief, my sin. Forgive my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Enlarge my heart to embrace all that you're doing in my life. God will never turn away a prayer like that. And tomorrow, right when you schedule for surgery, tomorrow the faith will be there. You cancel the operation and away you go in faith, for example. Nobody is going to point the finger and condemn a saint who misses it but is honest about why they've missed it.
Yeah.
You see, because, well, that's just how it is, isn't it? We're all in a learning process. We're all learning. We're all the time having our eyes opened, our hearts cleansed and purified, our faith is being worked on. God is getting to our faith. Mm-hmm. And he's working in us an enduring faith. A faith that will lay hold, a faith that will not take no for an answer, a faith that will stay with this no matter what the devil throws at it. And he's chucking some stuff, isn't he? He's throwing some things in this end time. You see, he is the only one that should be frantic, not you and I. Faith is of rest, it's authority. It's the devil that should be the one running around frantic trying to destroy things. He's worried about us, not us, who are we? He's worried about the faith that God is working in our lives. And when you read Revelation 12, you'll understand why. The man-child, and him being cast down, the devil, when we're taken up, the devil being cast down to earth. It's not us, is it, really? It's the Lord, right? But it's the faith that the Lord is working in and through us. This is why endurance. Praise God. Back to Peter. You see, remember, we're rooted and grounded in love. And this is the character, this is the conduct that is being worked in our life. The attitude, our attitude will largely determine our actions. Our attitude will determine our actions. Our life is going to be characterized by our attitude in, put into practice. Now that's largely true even in the world. A person will do what they are, but for the Christian, it's the motive that separates. And our one motive, our love for Jesus, is that he be glorified. That is our motive. And that will determine our attitude, and our attitude will determine our actions. The one thing I want from this is that God be glorified. That all that Jesus did at the cross is vindicated, that he is glorified, his name is honoured through what he's working in my life. Great and precious promises that through, back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, looking at the promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Praise God, we are being wrought Christ-like, that Christless, that image, the image of Christ, the Christ-likeness, divine nature, through the promises, through that endurance, through doing God's will, through seeking his will, through waiting on him, that prayer life, communion, praising him, relaxing and enjoying his presence, thanking him each day for the promises, for the revelation of his will, to heal, to save, to provide, to bless, to be with his presence, to his presence in my life, the favour of his smile. Praise God, his loving kindness is better than life. Without his loving kindness there is no life. If you had a choice between living, you know, existing in this life and his loving kindness, if you really understood it, you would choose his loving kindness. Yeah. That would usher us into his presence for eternity. We have to go through some pretty deep trials to fully understand what that means.
Yeah.
That his loving kindness is better than life. A life without him is not a life, it's a miserable existence. Praise God. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world is lusting after the things that God is freely giving us. We've escaped, that's what we spoke about earlier, the separation. We're no longer part of that corruption. We don't have to lust after these things. You know, the scheme and plan and contrive in every possible way to obtain Didn't James speak of that? You know, you war, you desire to have, you lust, but you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you don't get it because you ask it amiss. You ask with the wrong motive. You ask in order to consume it on your own lusts.
Yeah.
God is cleansing us. He's purging. He's purifying. He's only too happy to bless. He's looking. His eyes are searching to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those that he can. Why? Ethically and morally. He can anyway because of his omnipotence, but ethically, morally, without violating the principles of his holiness. He wants to bless this one, that one. They're walking uprightly. They're walking in faith. I long to just pour out those blessings because that's how he gets the glory. This is our witness, friends. And so Peter goes on to say, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we're believing, we're trusting God. These things are happening, we have faith in him, we're looking to the promises. We're no longer striving in the flesh after them. So how do we add? We've just said to relax and enjoy, and yet here we're told to give all diligence to add to our faith. Seems like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? That faith is a rest and yet we're giving diligence. Friends, yield to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. That diligence is overcoming. That diligence, as we yield to the Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit is fighting within us against sin, against the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the Spirit of Christ within us is working that, is fighting that, is destroying the work of the devil in our lives, in and through our lives and ministry. And so that's our diligence. Our diligence is our overcoming. Our diligence is yielding to the Spirit as he works the affection in our heart. This is a disciplined walk. It is a disciplined walk. There will be times, Rakai, where we get before him, seek him in the word and prayer. It is a disciplined walk, friends. And it's because we're not spending time in his presence that we're failing. I can guarantee that a reason for failure in a time of trial is that we have spent insufficient time in prayer, meditating on his word. We haven't prayed in the Spirit over it. We've just assumed, because I believe, that God's going to do it. Now, praise God, that is part of the rest of faith. But the trials are to bring us to a place where we see that, to bring us to a place that is the end of ourself, where he takes over in our life. But we have failed to spend sufficient time in his presence. Because it's a key principle to all of this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And if we're not spending time in his presence, how can we acknowledge him? We're still trying to do it in our own strength.
That's right.
And that is a major reason for failure in this faith walk. Now, praise God, be encouraged, cheer up, friends. God is the one working that.
Yes.
He's speaking to us like this. By his Spirit, he's drawing us ever more into his presence. And it's an affection of the heart that he's doing this. So there's our faith. Now, what is it to add to our faith? We're not trying to earn our salvation. We're not trying to add works to faith. But remember, these are fruits that give evidence of the life that's dwelling within us. This is the fruit that gives evidence of our calling and election. So faith will be doing this work. Now that virtue is a moral excellence. It's moral uprightness. It's moral excellence. It's having the strength, the courage of our convictions. It's where we don't compromise. That's what that virtue means. And it takes grace. It's the power working within to produce that. It's not us being good, quote unquote, but these are all character and conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. This is how Jesus walked. Praise God. So there's that moral excellence, that grace to remain faithful, to overcome temptation. Praise God, to overcome the temptation to compromise, to agree with somebody even though you don't agree with them, to save an argument. That's the opposite of virtue. The opposite of virtue is that corruption. And God is cleansing us of that corruption. He's making us pillars. And so an inner corruption is a weakness. That pillar will collapse if it's corrupt within. So he's removing that. So virtue, knowledge, experiential knowledge, theological knowledge, everything of knowledge, knowledge of the word, knowledge of God himself. To knowledge, self-control. There's that temperance. Oh, how we need that. The cross at work to stop that anger, that lust. Let's call it for what it is. We can't control ourselves, can we? But the flesh has to be crucified. So that's what that control means. It's not a willpower thing. It's yielding our entire being over to the Holy Spirit to crucify those lusts. Perseverance, we've just looked at that. That endurance, that persevering. That endurance, looking to God. Dear friends, we will endure because he endured. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Peter says, I believe it's 1 Peter 1, 20, let's have a look at that. 1 Peter 1, here we are. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, who through him we believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen. Friends, let him be the heart that pumps that faith, that pumps that lifeblood through you. He is the heart. We're the body. So let him pump that blood, let him pump that life, that faith throughout the body. Praise God. It's through him we believe as we yield. To perseverance, godliness. There's that holiness, that Christ-likeness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. That act, it's an act of kindness. Not just tender feelings, but an act of kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. We've spoken a lot about love, haven't we? God's love. God loving the unlovely, the unlovable. Let him do that through the work of the cross. How do we add to these things? Believe God for them. Let him enlarge the heart. He will work these things through us. Now, here we go. For if these things are yours, if these things characterize your life, if this is your character, if this is what people know you, this is our witness, if this is how you are known in your life and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This will be the basis of our reward. He who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Isn't that interesting? That when we first believe, there's that justifying faith, there's that faith of righteousness. We've been cleansed from our old sin. God expects us then that fruitfulness to grow. If it doesn't, then we've forgotten that first initial purpose for why we were redeemed. We've become blind, we've become hardened of heart, and God will, in his mercy, I trust, work with us. There comes a time when he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But let's not speak any of that of anyone here tonight. God is working with us, that conscience. He won't let us go. So that if he has to break, he'll break if necessary to produce these fruits, to open our eyes. Praise God. To remind us why we were cleansed from our old sin. Therefore, brethren, because of these things, that's what the therefore is there for, because of what has just been said, because of this, be even more diligent. Don't let that heart grow hard. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Your life is to give evidence of that calling and election. Don't just say, oh well, I can't fail because I've been elected. That was Israel's problem. We have been elected unto responsibility. We have been elected unto these things. Mm-hmm. These things should be seen in our lives to give proof mm-hmm. of that calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Being presented faultless before the presence of his glory. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1, never stumble. Who here never wants to stumble again? Let's have a look at this. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 19. I know this is familiar, but it works here as well. Colossians 1 verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. All the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. There we go, not stumbling, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So if we remain rooted, grounded, steadfast, right, rooted and grounded in his love, we will be holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And that's an impossible standard. But he said that's what he's going to do. If we remain, if we just stay with it. I know it hurts. I know it looks impossible. There have been times in my gardening experience that I have been in agony. And I have failed. I'll admit, I didn't mess it up. But I didn't stop believing. I know God will bring me to that place. Forgive me, Lord. You exposed fear. Let's call it for what it is. You exposed pride. You exposed unbelief. Just because I'm in agony, who am I to make that a contradiction to the promise? It did hurt, but God's promises don't change. God's faithfulness doesn't change. I missed it. It was my problem. Can't make an excuse, can't blame God or the trial. But here I still am. And here I'm still proclaiming and preaching that God's promises are true and he is faithful. And he will bring me to that place where I'm trusting in him.
Yeah.
And you, and all of us. As we just stay with it.
Amen.
Just be honest and let him do it. Back to Peter, and here's the glory of it. You know, not just in this life, not just the glory in this life, that redemption, because we're just pilgrims, aren't we? For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So not only are we going to be mightily blessed in this life, God providing all that we need according to life and godliness to be redeemed and to live a fruitful life to glorify him, but in order to get an eternal reward for all the work that he's done in our lives. No wonder we will cast our crowns at his feet. He won't reward us for something he does. That's not what I'm saying. But the process by which he works these things will cost us everything. Praise God, what a privilege. And as we just hang there on that cross, let him work these things, that is our witness. They'll say, look at what you're going through. How is it that you're not upset? How is it that you've not walked away from this? How do you maintain your peace? Why are you still smiling? Why are you still so relaxed and full of joy? I want what you've got. That's the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, of these fruits. And of that is the most powerful witness. That's our evangelism. That our life is doing the talking. That's the proof of the resurrection. That the resurrection, life and power through us is doing the talking. Let our lives speak volumes to people, friends. We don't have to say a lot. Praise God, there's the glory, there's the virtue. And as we yield and let God be God, he will not only give us that glory in this life, but an abundant entrance, a full reward in glory. Praise God, not scraping through by the skin of our teeth. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the living God. And we will reap the eternal consequences of every choice we make in this life. But rest in that, friends. Let God do that. Acknowledge that that's the responsibility, that it's impossible, and that, Lord, it's only by your grace that I'm going to enter into this.
Amen.
Whatever it takes, Father, get me out of the way and let me receive that abundant provision, that supply of your Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the living God. Well, it's all being recorded. I'm sorry if the sound on and off where you are. But praise God, we have a website which you're welcome to visit. The Lord is ironing out some technical problems with YouTube, and I think it's the internet connection and stuff. But the messages, the audio messages anyway, are on there. Visit, and praise God, I trust you'll be blessed.
Rushes on.